Blog Talk Radio.
It's only appropriate that we would start this week's show with John Fogerty's center field. We've made a lot of progress so far in our fantasy baseball preseason analysis. We've gone around the horn, talked about some good and some not-so-good fantasy baseball players, and now we move on and try to figure out who should be patrolling your outfield. We've also got another fantasy baseball draft tip of the week for you. Look, with the Super Bowls having come and gone, we need to adjust our seasonal outlook. It's not football season anymore.
It's rabbit season. Duck season. Rabbit season. Duck season. Rabbit season. Duck season. Rabbit season. Rabbit season. Duck season. Rabbit season.
I think you get the point, right? I mean, I like hockey. And I know there are a lot of basketball fans out there. But the sound of the ball jumping off of a bat and hearing a fist pounding a leather baseball glove makes the living legend, Joe Gallina. Think of spring and summer. We're talking fantasy baseball here, and it's just a fantasy sports show starts right now. For the past few weeks, I've been responding to listeners' questions and comments on the air. You can always reach me on Twitter. My handle is at Joe Gallina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. And this week, Ed reached out to me and asked how I could do an entire show on fantasy third baseman and not even bring up or talk about Alex Rodriguez. I guess it's a fair question, but the living legend doesn't consider A-Rod fantasy relevant any longer. At this point, he's a polarizing force who's going to be featured on the back pages of New York newspapers, but the New York Yankee signing of Chase Headley tells you all you need to know about what they expect A-Rod to produce this season. I've heard that he physically looks noticeably smaller. And who knows, the one-year layoff may be just what the doctor ordered for A-Rod's ailing, surgically reconstructed hips, but I wouldn't waste a draft pick on him. For the most part, I think he'll primarily be used as a DH. I see him getting drafted very late in deep preseason drafts, 25th round or later. It's going to be interesting to see what 2015 holds in store for A-Rod. I'm not looking for much. Already there are whispers that the Yanks are going to try to get out of making payment on the bonuses that would be due to him for reaching certain milestones. You know, he's probably going to reach maybe his 700th home run, if not this season, maybe the next season, because he is under contract for more than one season with the Yanks. This has the potential to become an ugly situation. I would stay away. You don't need ugly on your fantasy baseball team. Thanks for reaching out to me, Ed. And to all our listeners out there, you can ask me any fantasy sports-related questions. It could be a draft question, anything having to do with fantasy sports, or you can make a comment on the show at any time. Remember, my Twitter handle is at Joe Gallina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Okay, it's time for me to take you to school. That's right, get ready for our fantasy baseball draft tip of the week. So it's nice that you've been listening in to our weekly rankings of fantasy baseball players for each position, but it's important that you create your own cheat sheet based on all the additional research that you've been doing. And I hope that you've been doing some, because there are so many different types of fantasy leagues out there, all with different nuances and different rules, and maybe the guy that I chose number one overall at a specific position just doesn't make sense as the number one guy in your particular league because of a specific rule. Maybe I or another so-called fantasy baseball expert might have ranked a specific player real high, but you would never dream of drafting him for whatever reason. Maybe you drafted him two seasons ago and he was terrible and you just can't get over it. There could be a ton of reasons. Make your own cheat sheet, ranking the top players that you would consider drafting. If you're in a 12-team league, make a list of 12 guys at each position that you could live with being on your team. If you're in a 10-team league, make a list of 10 guys at each position. Everything you do from here on in will help you get ready for your draft. You don't want to get to draft night and it's your turn to draft and someone makes an unexpected selection that freezes you and you're stuck there like a deer in headlights. familiarize, and rank the player pool to your own liking.
Okay, all right.
And that is our Fantasy Baseball Draft Tip of the Week. No, school's not out forever. School will be back in session next time, and we'll have a brand new installment of the Living Legends Fantasy Baseball Tip of the Week. Okay, hop on board, and let's start our journey to find the best options for your fantasy baseball outfield. Now, the typical Roto League has you starting five outfielders, and there are just too many players to cover in one show. So we're going to have to break down our analysis into two podcasts. But
you guys are not going to regret this. We're going to get so much more activities done. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
That's right. Breaking down our examination of fantasy baseball outfielders into more than one long segment is going to allow us to touch upon a bunch of stuff that we wouldn't be able to do in one show. Plus, we like to keep the show moving and interesting, and listening to me drone on for more than a half hour at a time probably isn't your idea of having a good time. So without further ado, we begin with the number one rated platinum level fantasy baseball outfielder, and of course it's Mike Trout. Trout evolved a bit in 2014, and although his evolution saw his home runs, RBIs, and runs all increase significantly to career highs, we also saw some numbers move in the opposite direction. He became a bit more susceptible to a fastball thrown high and inside. The Kansas City Royals figured that out. And his increased aggressiveness at the plate caused his strikeout percentage to rise to over 26%, and that's the highest rate of his major league career. He actually led the majors in strikeouts last season, and also he walked less. He had fewer line drives and more fly balls. Now, the good news is that he converted more and more of those fly balls to home runs. He's obviously getting stronger, as his 36 home runs and 12-foot increase in his average fly ball rate indicate. But his new approach and aggressiveness at the plate caused his batting average to drop 36 points. And now before we get bent out of shape, he still batted 287. So even though he dropped his batting average by a bunch, he still hit close to 290. And with 36 home runs, 115 runs scored, 111 RBIs, if you throw in the fact that he's no longer batting leadoff for the Angels, it's not too surprising that this center field extraordinaire stolen bases also dropped to 16 from the 33 that he swiped in 2013. Look for another sensational season. I'm looking for a 295 average, 35-plus home runs again, 105 runs scored, 110 RBI, and 10 to 15 stolen bases. He's going to be your league's number one overall pick, and he's definitely worth it. At just 23 years of age, 23, it seems like he's been playing forever in the majors. And he's coming off his first AL MVP. His best years are still ahead of him. A 40 home run season is in his near future. Don't you worry. Our second-ranked fantasy baseball outfielder is 28-year-old center fielder Andrew McCutchen from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not much to say about McCutchen. He's a perennial 300, 25 homer, 90-plus runs scored, 20 stolen base guy. I'd like to see him driving more runs in the last two seasons. He has had just 84 and 83, respectively. The living legend likes to get 90-plus to 100 RBIs from his power hitters, and somebody especially that I'm going to be drafting as a top five overall pick in your league's draft, probably just number two overall, I'll tell you the truth. At number three is another young stud outfielder with a bright future ahead of him, 25-year-old right fielder Giancarlo Stanton, formerly Mike Stanton. He's just plain old power personified. He was having an amazing season before a fastball to the face cut his season short. But armed with a new long-term contract and a better team around them, Stanton should be seeing some better days ahead of him in Miami. And his past days in Miami weren't too bad, believe me. He should be a perennial 280, 35-plus home run guy, 100 RBIs every year. But the living legend does wonder if there will be any lingering effects from the beating of 2014. It was almost a shot heard around the world of fantasy baseball. I know he's probably going to be the same guy, but if I was the Marlins, I would have waited until I at least saw him come to bat in a live spring training game or two or three before I threw all that money at him. And if you think I'm overreacting, just look up the name Dickie Thon. It's spelled D-I-C-K-I-E. That's his first name. Dickie, last name Thon, T-H-O-N. He was supposed to be a Hall of Famer, and then he got hit with a pitch ball in the face. This is back, I think, in 1984, and he was never the same. Stanton will be a first-round pick in all drafts. One side note, I picked him up off the waiver wire in 2010, his first year in the majors, and I wished him luck on Twitter, and he actually responded to me. So the living legend has a soft spot for Mr. Stanton. Moving on, the living legend's fourth best fantasy baseball outfielder is Adam Jones. He's easily one of the most consistent fantasy producers in the game today. You could pencil him in for a 285 average, 25 to 30 home runs, 90-plus RBI, 85 to 95 runs scored, and maybe 5 to 10 stolen bases, and you could pencil it in right now. That's how sure I am of him. He's been so consistent. He doesn't get caught much when he does attempt to steal, but based on last season, his days of stealing 15-plus bases may be behind him. In a Roto 5x5 league, you always know what you're going to get from him, and he hardly ever gets hurt. On the minus side, if your league gives you credit for on-base percentage, Jones doesn't walk much, and he might not be the guy for you. The Baltimore Orioles center fielder should be a late first-round or early second-round pick in most leagues. Now, can you guess who our fifth-best fantasy outfielder is?
Gomez.
That's right, Morticia. It is Carlos Gomez. If you're looking for a good combination of power and speed, look no further than Milwaukee Brewers center fielder Carlos Gomez. Since getting regular at-bats beginning in the 2012 season, Gomez has been one of the most productive outfielders in fantasy baseball. He does strike out too much, and he does get caught stealing more than he should, but 284 batting average, 23 homers, 95 runs scored, and 34 stolen bases is the kind of stat line that is going to make Gomez a first-round pick in many fantasy drafts this season. And those numbers are no fluke. They are eerily similar to his numbers from 2013. But, oh, yeah, he actually stole 40 bases in that season. Call it a hunch, but I think this is going to be Yasiel Puig's year. You may ask, why did I lead into the discussion about Yasiel Puig by playing the Simpsons theme? Well, if you check out Puig's Instagram account, he posted a cartoon still of a baseball dugout, complete with some all-stars. I think Jeter was depicted in the cartoon as well. And Puig is writing on a blackboard on the back wall of the dugout, a la Bart Simpson, "I will not be a distraction. I will not be a distraction," which tells me that I think he finally gets it. There is no doubt that Yasiel Puig has a lot of talent. He just has to keep his head in the game. And the fact that he posted that cartoon making fun of himself tells me that he gets it. He knows he has to stop being a clown, and he has to play a full 162-game season to his capabilities. I rank him sixth among fantasy outfielders. I think he's good for a 300 average, home runs in the high teens to low 20 range, 85 runs scored, 75-plus RBI, and 10 to 15 stolen bases. And speaking of stolen bases, he's going to have to do a lot better than 11 steals in 18 attempts. All right, he's getting caught way too much, and he'll probably get drafted in the middle of the second round of your league's draft, but I'm thinking that this is the year he finally puts it all together. Cleveland Indian Michael Brantley really came into his own last season. Listen to these numbers: 327 batting average, 94 runs scored, 20 home runs, 97 RBIs, 23 steals, a career year. But what could he do for an encore? Well, if you look at his career, both his time spent in the majors and in the minors, he was never a big-time home run hitter, never really had a high ISO. Remember, isolated power or ISO is a measure of a hitter's raw power. It tells you how often a player hits for extra bases. Now, that definition comes straight from Fangraphs.com, a really good source of statistics, by the way. He has added 10 feet to his average fly ball distance since 2010. I think he regresses a little bit. He's got a great contact rate, makes contact with the ball over 90% of the time. So his average might dip, but I still see him hitting maybe 305 or so. Remember, he batted 327 this past season. 15-plus home runs, not out of the question. 85 RBIs, could reach 90 or so, depending on where the Indians bat him, and he should score 85-plus runs. I really like him a lot. Statistics-wise, he reminds me of a younger version of Hunter Pence, who we're going to talk about in a second, but he could hit for higher average right now than a Hunter Pence. Jose Bautista chimes in at number 8. I know there will be people that disagree with me and think that he should be ranked a bit higher, but what makes me rank him a little lower than some of the other outfielders on this list is the fluctuation in his batting average, and his durability does come into question. There's no question that he is a bona fide power hitter, capable of 35-plus home runs every single season. And let's face it, in this day and age, home run power is at a premium, but we've seen him bat 286 like last season. We've also seen him hit 241. And we've also seen him miss a good chunk of time, like in 2012 and 2013, and that's going to be the key. In a full season for the Blue Jays, he's going to hit close to 40 home runs, bat 265 to 275 on average, and he'll drive in a bunch of runs for you. And, oh, yeah, depending on your league's rules, he might even be eligible at first base, so that's big. So when the Yankees sign our ninth-ranked fantasy outfielder, Jacoby Ellsbury, the thing everyone was talking about was whether or not he'd be able to take advantage of the short porch in right field in Yankee Stadium and hit home runs like he did in 2011 when he hit a career high of 32. Well, Ellsbury did experience a mini power surge, hitting 16 homers last season, up from 9 the season before. His health was another thing everyone was concerned about. Ellsbury had missed some time due to injuries over the past 3 years and was considered injury-prone. But to his credit, he played in 149 games and came to the plate 635 times, so that wasn't really a factor last season. He had a nice year, stealing 39 out of 44 stolen base attempts, but he needs to get his run scoring totals and batting average back to where they belong. Based on his peripheral stats, he should have a bounce back year. The center fielders should give you a 290 batting average, 13 home runs, 65 RBIs, 85 runs scored, and another 40 or so stolen bases. Look for him to get drafted in the second round. Hunter Pence, I told you we'd talk about him, and here he is. He makes it to our top 10. We don't need to spend too much time on the 31-year-old right fielder from San Francisco. He's durable. He played in 162 games in each of the last two seasons. He's consistent. He's the kind of guy that you say you're going to draft, and you wait for the right time, and just as you're about to pull that trigger, someone beats you to it. So consider him a lock for a 275 to 285 average, 20 or so home runs, 85-plus runs scored, another 85 or so RBIs, and 10 to 15 stolen bases. He should be drafted somewhere in the 4th to 6th rounds of your draft.
You stay classy, San Diego.
The next couple guys are part of the Padres' attempted resurgence. They really made a bunch of smart player personnel moves that are going to help them become a competitive team in a short period of time. Justin Upton could have cracked our top 10 list, but he's our 11th outfielder because I'm concerned about what the move to San Diego will do to his numbers. Now, he is a fantastic outfielder, and his career numbers against San Diego are actually pretty good. He owns a 318 average against them, so I guess he could play pretty well in Petco Field. He does Petco Park, I think it is. He does strike out a ton, but he is a good bet for a 270 average with 25 home runs, 85-plus runs scored, 90-plus RBI, and 10 stolen bases. Those are some good numbers, and he's in his 27th year, and you know that 27 is a magical kind of year for baseball players. He should be a late second-round or early third-round pick. Matt Kemp is going to join Upton in San Diego, and he's our 12th best fantasy outfielder. You've got to love the rebound year from Kemp with his 287 batting average and 25 homers, 17 of which came in the second half last season. I guess the Dodgers wanted to trade him while his value was high. Despite playing at a pitcher's park this upcoming season, I think Kemp is going to do real well. Another 25 home runs is not out of the question. He did add 16 feet to his average fly ball distance rate from 2013 to 2014, and he basically showed baseball that when he's healthy, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he's been around, drafted him somewhere around the 5th round in most drafts. Next guy we're going to talk about has a real bright future in baseball.
Best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine? Think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.
Lucky number 13 on our fantasy baseball outfield countdown is Corey Dickerson. At 25 and playing his home games in Coors Field, he's sure got a lot of upside. He's got 30 home run power, a phenomenal line drive rate. In his first two major league seasons, it's been over 26%. He's going to have to hit lefties a lot better, and he needs to improve in the stolen base department. Only 8 steals on 15 tries, getting caught way too much. Given 5 to 600 at bats, I could see him batting somewhere around 285 with 25 plus home run power and 80 plus RBIs and 75 plus runs. A lot of pluses there, right? Throw in maybe 10 steals and Dickerson could be had, who could have been had off the waiver wire last year, is going to be a 4th or 5th round pick in many leagues. There's a lot of upside for him, like I said. At number 14, Washington National outfielder Bryce Harper's main problem has been staying healthy and staying on the field, but he's got immense talent. He's still just 22 years old and only going to get better. Like Trout, seems like he's been playing forever, right? Across a full season, you could expect him to hit somewhere around 275, maybe 280, hit 25 home runs, steal 15 bases, score 85 runs, and drive in another 75 or so, maybe even a little bit more. He's a third-round pick. And if you're starting up a keeper league, focus on him big time because he's got a bright future, right? Now, assuming that our 15th-ranked fantasy outfielder, Carlos Gomez, can stay healthy.
You should never assume, because when you assume, you make an ass of you and me.
Yeah, okay, you got me on that one, Mr. Unger. That's why usually I use the word presume in that situation. But if Cargo could stay healthy this season, there's no reason that he can't return to form and become a 2020 guy again. The only problem is that the living legend doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to draft him in the third round, and that's where he's going. I think even when healthy, Cargo's numbers are going to slightly be better than, let's say, a Hunter Pence. But I'd rather take Hunter Pence, who's going to play in 162 games for me this season, than a Cargo, who might sit out a bunch of time. You never know. Let's focus on a bit of speed with our 16th and 17th fantasy outfielders.
I show you a trick how to get some speed in them legs. I want you to try to chase this little chicken. You catch this thing, you can catch grease lightning.
Cincinnati Red Billy Hamilton is just a speed demon. And no, as far as I know, the Cincinnati coaches don't make him chase chickens. His speed comes naturally. He stole 56 bases last season, but on the other hand, that total could have been a lot higher. Number one, if he didn't get caught 23 times, so he has to improve on his base-stealing efficiency. And number two, he could have stole a lot more bases if he simply cut down on his 4-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Looking at his minor league stats, according to Fangraphs, he stole 165 bases in 2012 while playing for three different teams. His base on ball percentage was in the double digits when he accomplished that feat. Last season, it was less than 6%. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to steal over 150 bases in a major league season if he simply fixes his base on ball percentage and raises it, but he definitely needs to be a more patient hitter. And if he doesn't improve upon last season's dreadful 292 on base percentage, and that is especially bad from the leadoff spot, he is going to be considered a one-trick pony. Based on where Hamilton is being drafted, there are fantasy owners who do believe he will improve. I think it makes more sense to draft Pittsburgh outfielder Starling Marte, who can give you 20 to 30 more points in the batting average and give you double-digit home runs and steal maybe 30 to 40 stolen bases. It's not that far off from what Hamilton did last year. Marte is going in the third or fourth round in many drafts. And like I said, Hamilton is getting drafted in the fifth to seventh rounds. So we transition our analysis now from speed to pure home run power. Let's listen to this play-by-play. Yeah, at some point last year, it seemed that George Springer was hitting home runs every time he came up to bat. I mean, with power being in such demand in baseball these days, George Springer, Houston Astro, sneaks into the Living Legends top 20. He hit 20 home runs in just 78 games. He is raw at just 25 years of age and also struck out 33% of the time. Now, in the minors, he was able to strike out a ton and still end up with a .300 career minor league batting average, but that's not going to happen in the major leagues. The living legend is counting on Springer to cut down on his strikeouts, and even if he slowly improves and pushes that batting average from last season's .231 to a more respectable .250, he'd be worth adding to your fantasy team as maybe a fourth or fifth outfielder. He's being drafted starting in the third round of many drafts, so apparently there are a lot of fantasy owners who believe in him. Third round might be too soon for me, but if he's around in the fifth round, then I think he's worth drafting. Just pure power personified. Moving straight ahead, just a short time ago, Milwaukee Brewer outfielder Ryan Braun was a perennial first-round pick. He gets nabbed for using performance-enhancing drugs, serves a suspension, and now he's just a pedestrian player. Last season, batted just 266 with 19 home runs, 81 RBIs, and 11 stolen bases. Nice numbers for a young player on the rise, but for a 31-year-old, no longer reaping the benefits of PEDs and probably on his way down, I would stay away. But there are those who disagree. I saw him get drafted in the late second round of one mock draft earlier this season, and that's just crazy.
Number 20.
That's right. We made it to number 20, and I think we'll give you a little bit of a bonus, too. Alex Gordon from Kansas City rounds out our top 20. There are just so many outfielders to choose from and so many great players just beyond my top 20. Cespedes, Holiday, and so many others. Gordon made the cut over Matt Holiday because of the double-digit steals that he offers. Other than that, their numbers are pretty similar. At 31, Gordon has plateaued. You know what you're going to get from him, maybe a 270 to 275 average, the 20 home runs, 90 runs scored, 75 to 80 RBIs, and 10 to 12 stolen bases. And when I say that Gordon has plateaued, I mean that you can expect those numbers from him for the next few years. Holiday's numbers may be on their way down. I mean, he's a great player. A 9 straight seasons of at least 20 home runs shows you just how consistent he's been. And even with a slight drop off from his numbers, they're still so good based on what he was doing in the past. But you never want to put the fate of your fantasy team on someone who is in the declining stage of his career. I mean, not a terrible choice, but hey, I'll call him my number 21. Both should start to get drafted. I mean Alex Gordon and Matt Holiday. Both are going around the sixth round. That's when they start to get drafted. So I hope you enjoyed our show. Next week, we're going to continue our examination of the fantasy baseball outfield position. We'll pay special attention to the sleepers and some of the guys who were perennial fantasy baseball but didn't live up to their expectations. Guys like Josh Hamilton, Shin-Soo Choo. We'll also talk about some guys who had breakout years last year and if we should expect them to have another good season on top of that. I mean, guys like J.D. Martinez, Marcell Ozuna from the Marlins. And then within the next couple of weeks, we'll finish up our analysis of the baseball diamond with pitchers and catchers. And speaking of which, it's getting real close to the time that they're going to be reporting for spring training. I'd like to thank our guests, Senor Wentz, Burgess Meredith, the Step Brothers, Frankie Smith and his Double Dutch Bus paid us a visit, the Moody Blues, Alice Cooper, Bugs Bunny, Morticia Adams, Felix Unger taught us a good life lesson, Ron Burgundy chimed in, Homer Simpson, the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra, Yukon Cornelius even snuck in. It was a real star-studded event this week. Reach out to me just like Ed did, and who knows, maybe I'll feature your comment or question on the podcast. My Twitter handle is at Joe Gallina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. I especially want to hear from you if you didn't like the show. Hey, would it be fun if I just get a bunch of tweets from guys who are just kissing the living legends? And I want you to check out rotoballer.com. I write for them, right? They're a great online fantasy sports magazine. Rotoballer's got some great fantasy content, baseball, hockey, basketball, football. They've got it all. The free chat rooms are great. You get to talk fantasy sports with your peers. And I need you to visit organicvibrations.com, who sponsors our show every week. Check out their website. Like them on Facebook. If you like pure and organic foods and products, you need to visit organicvibrations.com. And as we slam the lid on things for today, I want to remind you to keep moving straight ahead, and all of your fantasies will become realities. This is the Living Legend, Joe Gallina. Thanks for listening. And it's just a fantasy sports show. We'll be back next week. Tell all your friends and neighbors to listen in as well. We'll talk again next week.